Yes, this is the ghetto. Showing up now.
To each other's aura, to each other's energy, right? And that's a beautiful thing for me. I like that.
And so we have Mama Chocolate on. Mama Chocolate, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, kings and queens. Today is a beautiful day. Even though the weather looks like it looks out here where I'm at, kind of gloomy, but the smile is on my face because my son went to rehab yesterday. Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh,
all
amen.
Right, let's give it up.
Praise report.
That is great.
Yes, sir. We got
right.
One down and one more to go.
Let's keep praying for.
Okay. Thank you.
And so watch this. Y'all know the pink man got the Republican nomination. The lady conceded this race,
yeah.
Right? And so I want to know how that make y'all feel. You know, y'all not with him. Y'all against him. And, you know, he landslide the Republican Party nomination. He landslide that. He took that and like he was snatching something, right? And so it is, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to the American people? And do you even care? I'll start with you, Marvell.
Well, him landsliding the Republican sector of the he has the backing of the Republican Party by proxy because they ain't got nowhere else to go. But there's still a minority group. And what they're attempting to do is what I see them do all the time is they try to make their minority look like the majority. For instance, I said it before. I've been in penitentiaries where it's 1,500 inmates and 150 guards, but if something happens, they make it look like it's 1,500 guards and 150 inmates because all of them show up. So that's what they're attempting to do is barrage and blur the water with all of the support that he's getting and make it look like he's got general support from the general population, which I differ with. He just has the support of those MAGA individuals in his party. So I don't see that meaning much when it comes to a general, but we can allow it to, you know, if we allow it to get caught up thinking that, well, he's got it, so in the sense of me voting or some people deciding to vote in that regard because it looked like it's the winning team. So they always try to make themselves look like they're the winning team, and they could be dead wrong, but they stick together, making it look like what they're doing should make sense to somebody. So, you know, I knew he was going to be the nominee, and I knew that the girl was just running interference, and she probably vying for a vice presidency, you know, nomination or appointment to run with, you know. So they all in the game, but the game is limited to the people who subscribe to them. That Republican Party and the MAGA hook up within that party. So, you know, they just doing their regular.
Ashe. Mark the Disciple.
Once again, my people have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and bullshitted. Man, they all going to do the same damn thing that screw you. I don't care who get in there, Republican, Democrat, liberal, whatever the hell they is. If you don't change the paperwork, ain't shit going to work for us.
Ashe. Double R, you in the car.
Well, hey, it's the government, y'all. I mean, this is just, to me, it's not really a concern. I mean, they're going to do what they do as long as we keep pushing for our reparations because we ain't never on their agenda. But, you know, it don't matter who get in there. We just have to keep doing what we doing. But if you can look at the way they playing their cards with black voters, I was watching a program yesterday on BET, what is America in Black, and they interviewed these students at Clark Atlanta. And not one of them spoke about reparations. You know, they just lost. Are you, and under the fifth, I mean, under the, going back to the 2020 election, under 50 was popular for Biden and Ms. Moore, I mean Ms. Harris, you know what I mean? So our youth, man, is really lost. I mean, it's not even a concern about reparations, which is very concerning to me. I mean, it's like you can't even mention something that happened to your people. And then on the panel, you had an independent, you had a Democrat, and you had a Republican. The independent one was a female, was a young lady. She was the wisest one. You know what I mean? And they said, we need a third party. Because they are just totally disappointed in what both has given. But I think that, you know, we have to understand that a vote is powerful. They're going to try, just like Biden told, what is it, Charlemagne the God, that if you vote for Trump, you ain't black. Who in the hell is you? Matter of fact, who in the fuck is you to tell us who black is? You understand me? Now that's the way that they program our mind. You don't vote for me, you ain't black. If you know what I'm saying? You vote for Trump, you ain't black. Then Trump go say, I'm black. I'm black like y'all. So you know what I'm saying? This is the strategic moves that they do to put in our head to let us say that, hey, vote for me, vote for me. Like I said, and like we were saying on this show, like my sweatshirt has 1619 Reparations Party, and the back said no reparations, no vote. Vote propositions only. I stick to that. I yield black.
Woo! That's good. Mama Chocolate.
I'm here. For me, if we damned if we do, we damned if we don't. I just think his move is a strategic move. He's there for a reason. He's there for a purpose. And for them to, one minute you talking, you know, I'm going to say this, one minute you talking a whole bunch of shit about him, about what he done did and what he done did illegally, but you still allow that to happen. So I think that what his, Donald Trump's move is a, something that's strategic.
Okay. I appreciate that. And so for myself, I already told y'all, man, I told y'all when they allowed him to be on the ballot, right? I told y'all the fix is in. I'm looking to see that us as a people realize that they don't give a damn about us. There's a song by Michael Jackson. It says, they don't really care about us. And I'm going to play that later on, right? And so they trick you out of that vote. That vote, you know, they're going to trick you out of your vote, right? But is they going to put the work in that's needed to make a change in this here country? That is the main thing I need to know. I need to know what changes are going to be implemented, because we going to dance around the bush again, right? We're going to dance around the bush. We're going to say kumbaya, and we're going to do all of that, and we still not going to get anything that will hold us down. For say is that reparations we hollering about. Now, if the man get up in there and give reparations, man, it's going to turn the whole country upside down, right? They get that money up, they're going to turn the whole country, because it's going to be some wild, wild white folks mad that we got that money, we got that land, we got that medical, we got whatever y'all say that's on the paperwork that they've been had a task force put together, revised, and all that. I'm just saying, it's going to turn this mother out, right? And so I just want to be prepared for the civil war that might come, because there's going to be some angry people. There's going to be angry people if we get what we got coming. And so how do we prepare ourselves for that moment? How are we prepared for that moment? See, them are the things I'm trying to be safe in what I say, because Facebook, I've never been put off Facebook or anything for nothing I say, because I always advertise what we do in the community. I don't even put my face on there. And so I don't want to put nothing out there that's going to get us towed up on this show, right? Because we've been going real good for a good month without no distraction. Maybe one or two phones hung up. Maybe two weirdos got on here and got to talking out the side of their neck. But other than that, y'all, we've been doing our thing right here. And so Trump winning the election and being the president, I'm like Mama Chocolate. We damned if we do. We damned if we don't. I'll be passing this mic back over to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell.
I would say I agree with the undercurrent of what response a certain group in this population will have if reparations are awarded. And we haven't heard a lot of opposition because there has not been a great momentum and a great consciousness for them to respond to. I think they're laying in waiting to express their opposition to it. And it's solely not because of whether or not it's right or wrong, but it minimizes the control mechanism that and the entitlement that the certain groups have learned to become accustomed to in this country. So I think the decision makers about this keep making adjustments, anticipating how to not let that group be too rebellious. So that's why I think they're making adjustments, not talking about the cash allotments and not talking about programs over cash allotments and talking about certain equities that can be probably easier for that group, that opposition group, to go along with, because I think that they're concerned about that rebellious group and their tendency to be violent, right? And that's where the upsurge comes, because you can have two opposing arguments and people hash it out verbally and carry signs and represent, but when it gets to the violent part, that's what I think is the major concern, because when it gets to the violent part, that's when the civil unrest can turn into a civil war. So I think that the people that are coordinating the allotment of reparations is thinking about that group. And it's sad. It's sad that we have to factor into it a decision about what's right, factor into it that some people might not agree, and they'll fight you to the death because they disagree. Or they'll fight you to your death, threaten your death. They'll threaten your family. They'll threaten if they don't like it. It's sad that there's a group of people in this country that we have to have that concern about. But it, to me, it's just raw and it's real. Because they got guns, and we got folks that got 5-6 guns in their household, and I ain't talking about a few. There are thousands of people who have arsenals in their household. And for what reason? The militia that the Second Amendment talks about, but it's not against the government. It's against anything that opposes their entitlement. So, you know, that's what we, like you said, damned if we do, damned if we don't in that regard. Is that we're not going to pick up guns and go try to make something happen. We're just going to do it in a civil way. But when civility doesn't work for them, then violence is their next alternative. And that's what we have to grapple with as we go forth. And I'll yield.
Yes, sir. And we have Johnny. We have Uncle Johnny just now calling in. I see he raised his hand. Uncle Johnny, go on and say something to the world.
Yeah, Uncle Johnny's in the house, man. Look, I don't know what the topic is or anything, but I'm so proud of you brothers and sisters that's doing this. You know, it's a beautiful thing, man, for us to speak out and talk about what's going on in the world. And right now I got a pressing issue myself, because I need some character references. You know, I've been in Sacramento for 7 years, and And, you know, I'm doing the expungement thing. I go to court April the 5th, and the district attorney investigator has sent me a form that's telling me that I need some references and stuff like this. Now, I got some from out of town from where I came from, the Bakersfield, Kern County area. You know, I got some people that's already been wrote and emailed it in, but I don't have none from Sacramento, and this is where I live. So I'm imploring you brothers that know me and know what I'm trying to do and what I've been doing and what I stand for, you know, to write something, you know what I mean? And send it to the DA, and I'll send that information to you. You know, the email address to this investigator. It's a lady. And I like to send that out, man, because it has to be in by the 11th. And I'm short, you know. Time is running out. And
so let's show up at the Men's Healing Circle. Let's talk about it. Have them emails, have that address, your say. And when you open up today, tonight, what you do is we'll run the wheel, go around one time, and then I'm going to place it in your hands to talk to your brothers and see what we can come up with. But bring all the information on how to send it, and we got you.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You knew that.
Yeah.
Come on, you knew that was going to be a done.
Yeah. Right on. I wish I could stay longer, but, you know, I'm at work. I'm employed.
God is good. I got Uncle Joe with you. Uncle Joe, say good morning to the folks.
Yeah. And,
everybody,
you know,
how you doing today?
I got to say one more thing, you know, because it's so important to me.
That's Uncle Johnny, I know.
Tomorrow is the 7th of March, and I will be 3 years clean, and that's like a new birthday to me. You know what I mean? I celebrate tomorrow more than I celebrate my own birthday, because this is I'm living two lives in this one body, and I'm so thankful that for 23 years I haven't touched alcohol or anything else, any mood, mind, altering substance, you know. And I'm willing to help anybody and tell them how I did it so they can do it too, because it's a true blessing. I'm still here with y'all. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Uncle Joe, sorry about that. Go ahead, Uncle Joe.
That was Uncle Johnny, I know. Hey, everybody, how's everybody going? Let's get to the topic, and thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to listen while I go to my next
All right, right on, Johnny. Hey, Marville, you hear Joe? Yeah. Hey, Joe, so Trump won the Republican nomination. What does this mean to you? What does this mean to America? And do you even care? That's where we at right now.
Okay, I'm glad you asked. No, I'm not concerned about it, because we have had little to nothing since we've been here. And Trump, I'm not worried about him, because I make sure that I'm using my own abilities to feed myself, clothe myself, cover myself for the roof. So, and our people, our culture, regardless of the Democrat, Dixiecrat, Republican, we've had to fend for ourselves regardless. So I'm not, but Trump, as far as the country is concerned, brothers, you asked the question, yes, about going backwards. In a lot of ways, yes. I have to respond to that in that term. But as far as worried about it, no, I made sure that living skills was part of my makeup years ago, so that when times like this came about, I was able to produce. No, I ain't worried about it. No, I stick with God and what God intended for me to do, and that's it. No.
I love that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so, hey, Joe, I need to talk to you offline when you get a moment. I got something you was asking about, And so I want to talk to you offline. I got the paper in my hand right now. Maybe we can meet up before the healing circle. I can give you this information you was asking about. Anyway, it's the Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. And the question was, how does Trump winning the Republican nomination make you feel? And we're not going to stay on that too long. We're going to keep moving. But I had a person call me last night, you know, they was talking about it was Super Tuesday, did I vote and all that. I've been voted. Me and my wife voted maybe 5 days. Whenever they sent that little pink form on through the mail, we sent it right back on out. We voted together, which I said I wasn't going to vote, but, you know, I know that my mama, she not going to rest well without me putting in my vote, right? Because she sure said, well, now don't be a damn fool, boy. Now don't be a damn fool. You vote. And so I voted because mama said vote. I ain't vote because it was in my heart to vote, and I'm going to tell y'all that because I've always told people I ain't voting, I ain't voting, I ain't voting. And then the mayor candidacy is a tight race. Dr. Colfer is hanging in there, so they all going. I think the whole four, it was six of them in the running, but they got the four mainstays that they showed on the news. And Dr. Colfer, she was at 20%. We had Richard Pan at 25%. We had the other Hansen at 22%, and then we had McCarty, or what's his name? He's at 21%, and so Flo is not far behind if you look at it. And so if we do what we're supposed to do on the 5th of November, Dr. Colfer will win, because that them others is gonna weed out, right? They're gonna weed out. They're gonna weed out, man. Somebody ain't gonna feel that they are ready to take on this fight. Now, there's a couple of that are fighting till the death of them, right? And I know that's Dr. Colfer, right? And so if you didn't vote yesterday or you ain't in Sacramento to vote for her, we are just asking for your prayers that she is put in the office. They all had the same agenda. They want to help the homeless. But you know what? They're running on a late ticket because the homeless is being helped. You better go out here in these streets and look. Man, they done cleaned up downtown right up under the freeway. Man, all that's clean. They done cleaned up over there by the riverway, all that's clean. They done start putting them in these hotels and everything because they've been holding on to the homeless funds, right? They've been getting millions and millions and millions of dollars for years to place these homeless people to do something new, and they hadn't did nothing, right? So they pocketed a lot of money. Now they can go out and spend some money, right, to show this is where some of that money going, right? And so how do we as a people feel about the local, I ain't going to say the government, the local government, we'll just say the local government, and how they're spending our monies, right? Because there's a lot of monies that are supposed to go into the schools, such as the lottery, the marijuana taxes. There's a few other incentives, right? But they shut down seven schools in the last 8 years. Seven. And I'm at one. Fruit Ridge Elementary is now Fruit Ridge Collaborative. Maple Elementary School is now La Familia. They got the whole thing. It's just a bunch of them. Freeport and a few others, right, that I can name off that been closed. But you said you had this money and these taxes to hold these schools open, to better them, to get new books. Man, I went to a new school and they got old books. God dog it, let me pass this mic. Marvell.
Okay, I got something to say. I'm itching to say this. Ooh, my tongue is on fire right now before I go in class, you guys. Can I? I'm going to piggyback off of Mr. Brother Marvell. I'm going to piggyback off of you, Tim, and also about. So let me bring it back. So I'm not into the politics, really. I just know that what's going on right now. I think we need to be still and watch and wait and see who are the players as far as representing us. Just like Mr. Marvell said, when they it's a certain time when people get outraged or speaking up, right? This is a strategic move, and being that we are, if somebody took an account of black voters, our vote will matter. Our vote will matter as far as if we didn't vote, but because we don't know those numbers, I don't know, because like I said, I'm not into politics. But if we don't know those numbers, how do we know if our votes have been affected in that way? Two, when you said about the homeless population, and you just told me that they cleaned up. When I was out there, there were certain areas downtown. One area in particular, right across the street, where that bridge is. I couldn't believe how the campsite, how they had trash everywhere. The camps was all, on the lawn. And then you just said that they cleaned it up. They did the same thing out here where I live at. And it's called health and safety, a health and safety move. Okay. The elections are coming. So people have to look like they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Right. So they're doing it at a specific time. They need your vote. And quite frankly, I didn't even know about yesterday about the voting until my cousin called me and told me that she voted. The only one that I know of is the one in November, the one that I feel that matters. But and then three, I'm currently I'm on the board here. It's called the Coalition Homeless Service Providers, and I'm on the lead program. I'm on the lead council, so I am at these meetings. And like I said, this is a strategic move. There are monies out there that they have to allocate and give to these organizations. So it's a time and a place for everything. And that's what they're doing right now. Election is coming, so they got to make these moves. They got to make it look like they're doing what they were supposed to do a long time ago. And then for reparations, I feel like this. If we ain't going to get it, we can't ask for something that we ain't had anyway. We can't be mad about something that we didn't get anyway. But if they're going to give it to us in cash or land, I would rather have the land so I can build whatever the hell I want to build on my land. That's just my thoughts on that. And I digress. Anybody there?
Yeah. I was trying to give room for somebody else to speak, because I jump on that mic a lot, and I'm just here as a facilitator. I want to hear what the people got to say.
That is Double R. I'd like to just comment on you guys say, damn, we do it, damn if we don't. Shit, damn, we've been doing it all the damn time. Let's don't vote for nobody, and let's try to use our strategy, our strategy and stuff to let them know that our vote counts. I mean, you look at Georgia. Just look at 2020. Georgia ain't been Democratic. How long? Look at the black counties that it went down. Remember, I don't know if y'all saw it, but Trump was kicking Biden's butt. And they finally counted, I think it was three states that ain't been Democrat in decades. And they finally got down to the black communities. Man, he passed him up. I mean, it was just like it came from nowhere. And that's what woke everybody up.
That's what I'm talking about.
As a black person too. I never really saw that how it really our vote really really mattered to the 2020 election. So y'all gotta understand, let us take away from them votes. For one election, sacrifice one election,
Exactly.
And
that's
watch
what
they
was,
do
that's
in
what
trying to pacify us on what we're talking about, and the main thing is reparations. And it ain't going to be either or, no money or the land. It's everything above, medical, education. You know, we looking for all this high incarceration. We need our own political prisoners and our prisoners of the cocaine war and all that be released. We need all that rehabilitation. We need to rehabilitate. I mean, it's a whole thing for reparations. That's why I think it's so difficult for us to try and chew on, because you got to understand, don't compare us to the Japanese or the Asians or the Native Americans. Yeah. Our reparations is beyond everything. We're going to break the bank. It's going to be a black America by the time we finish.
Go on, he said.
He said, you know, as soon as you take that out, let him know.
I got him muted. Go ahead on, brother. I got him muted.
No, I yield on that. I think I hit on everything I wanted to say. Thanks.
Right on, right on. You're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. We got our brothers is thinking right now. We got a thinking cap on, right? And so if you are a listener and you want to speak out on what we're talking about, please call 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. And so in other news, last night, man, we had a circle with our young folks, right? And we had some people come in and sit around and observe, right? And it's just people out of the ordinary just to come and check it out because they see so much of it, right? And one brother came through, Brother Dexter. Brother Dexter came through and he said, man, I didn't know that this was going down like this right here. This needs to happen everywhere. I said, everywhere, brother? He said, everywhere. Our young folks, if we can get our people in the room with our young folks and listen to them, I think the change will happen. I said, but the thing about that, brother, is that the young folks don't want all the older elders in the room because they're not freely to speak, you know, because what happens is I asked a couple questions last night on taking kids home last night. What happens is a youth will say something and then an elder act like they ain't never did shit wrong and try to correct them without thinking about their past, right? And that's what one of them, they said, you know, yeah, we can say something, but when they correct us, they forget that they once was young. And I don't think anybody is without sin, right? And, you know, it had to be one of my smart ones that he fools us every time he come in there. He get loaded. Come in there and he talk a good game, but he be just as high as all outdoor, right? But we got to accept him. We got to let him in. We got to let him flourish. And so one of these times, I'm gonna bust his bubble in front of everybody, right? I don't be wanting to do it because he speaks a good word, but we can't have people following falsehood, right? That's one thing we can't do. We can't allow him to build up the momentum in that room, and these youth don't even know that they're following somebody that don't even live up to what he really speaking on, right? And so he lies to himself, and he's in denial. And so I'm trying to figure out a way how not to be crucial on him, but also be real with him, right? Because I know if I bust his bubble, it might bust him. And so it's a way. So a lot of people got a lot of ideas of how you do what you do and how you did what you did, and that's good, and I'm down with you. And sometimes, just sometimes, you do what you do when you where you at. Me, I take my time, and I pay attention, and I allow things to work itself. And hopefully that it works itself out, right, without me having to bust a bubble. And so it may take a month, 2 months, 3 months. I can't put a timeline on when change is supposed to happen, because if I could, we should, as the black people, have changed now, right? And so I just pay attention, right? I really pay attention to what people say. I pay attention. Well, I got family in the house, so if you hear a baby in the background, no, I ain't had no kids lately. It's just we got a whole bunch of people in our house for this big celebration we got this weekend. But I'm going to get back to what I was saying. I don't criticize him. I don't belittle him, right? And few of y'all know who I'm talking about. I don't do that, because that ain't how you're going to get the best information to them, right? You have to let them do what they're going to do until they do it enough to where you can say, okay, now I done allowed you to do this, and I see that you ain't came up front with the truth, so this is what I want to do. I'm pulling you to the side for a minute, and I'm telling you what I noticed and what I know, in hopes that we can have a conversation on the changes we need to see, right? And so that's my waiting technique, right? My other technique is to just go in and go raw, right? But then if you go raw in front of all the others, they'll go, well, hey, I ain't going to be wanting to share with you, because you just bopped me upside the head, right? And I don't think I want to feel that in front of everybody. So what I've been doing lately, if you've been there, you'll see that when someone has a problem and I notice the problem, what I do is call them up, right? And I ask them to speak about the problem, right? Because them speaking about the problem is releasing some of the pressure off of them. And that's us as a people. We got so much going on, we have to release slowly that pressure so we don't bust. Not only we don't bust, we don't want to let too much pressure out, because some of that pressure is our motivation. Some of that pressure keeps me going. You understand me? So I'm only saying that because last night, man, when I was talking with a few youth, man, they really, really want help. They don't know how to ask for it, because if you ask them to speak up about what they going through, they'll mumble as low as a mouse. You can't hear them. I believe that not only are they afraid to open up in front of folks, they're afraid for you to know their weaknesses. And that's us as a people, me, myself. Sometimes I don't want you to see I'm vulnerable, because it's people that feed off that. It's people that will eat you alive when they see you got a weakness, right? Instead of saying, hey, let me help you build that up. Let me strengthen you in that area, because I see you weak over there. Let me strengthen you up in that area, because you're a good person. All you need is someone to uplift you, encourage you, and inspire you to be better in this area so that you can progress. But it's not that easy. People look for your weakness, and they go tell somebody about your weakness, and next thing you know, your name is around and circles you ain't even in, right? But your name is there, and people break you down instead of bring you up. And so when is the time? Here's my question for everybody. When is it time for us to stop okey-dokey these situations and come for real about the situation? You know, so a brother had a problem. Instead of us coming together to help and solve the problem, we went and told somebody that told somebody that told somebody, and by the time it got back around the circle, it wasn't even the same story that started out. When do we stop doing that and start building each other? Even though I'm on dope, I mean, I'm trying my best to get off of it. I ain't doing good getting it off of it, and you're not trying to help me, but you talking bad about me. When do we stop that? I'm homeless. You see me out there, you say, oh, you should have got your shit together. I got mine together, and you better start getting yours together. When do we stop? When do we stop calling each other out our names for an argument that could be just talked about and get an even playing field for both of us to leave satisfied. When do we stop beating each other up? When do we stop, y'all? I'm going to go to Marvell first. Marvell, the host with the most. When do we stop, Marvell? When do we stop judging people for their position in life and start helping them?
Well, when we start shaking away our own insecurities about our abilities and our prowess as a creative and wholesome and spiritual being. See, Mark talks about it all the time, how we've been sort of barraged with a whole bunch of values that look good but don't feel good. And so now it seems like we still get the creature comforts and get everything that's supposed to make you feel a certain way, and we still ain't feeling it. You know, so it's to me it's clear that the low-hanging fruit, when you have anger in the core and resentment in the core of your being, when you want to expel it or you want to demonstrate it, you're going to demonstrate it with someone who the consequences don't seem to be that great, right? The low-hanging fruit would be someone that if you did something to them, the constables, the law enforcement is only going to look for you for 48 hours, even though it's not really a favorable way to look at expelling anger. The anger issue is sort of still the motivation for a lot of behaviors that work against us, and the insecurities that's under the anger is what we're attempting to whittle away at and get people to start looking a little closer at why it's not fair for you to denounce somebody else just because you haven't stood in your majesty, just because you don't have the courage to recognize what you have and how to apply it. Say again?
No, I was trying to let Joe back in, but Joe got the TV or something on, so I put him back on mute. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so you know, to me it's like it's that insecurity of not doing what you're capable of doing, because when you're busy, my mama told me this, and my sister demonstrates this. You know, when you want to ask somebody to get something done, ask the busiest people. Don't ask somebody who's on welfare and paying $28, $30 a month to do something. They don't seem to have the time to do it for some strange reason. So what I'm saying is, if you're active in your gift, if you're active in your anointment, there's no room for criticism about someone else. There's only a room for encouragement for someone else to demonstrate theirs. But when you're insecure about your own, you're going to balance your insecurity by denouncing and minimizing someone else's. And woo, don't show me your weakness. Wow, I'm going to feed on that, because I got every justification to vent off every anger, resentment, bitterness, judgment that I have on someone who is defenseless against my onslaught. I'll yield with that.
God, dog it. Uncle Joe, I see your hand up.
Yeah, I do. You know, you asked what is one of the best ways to overcome that or to go past it, even though we have a history of that type of action. Those who are, as Marvell just said, those who are about making moves forward, continue to make moves forward. Those who use that as a, quote, crutch, talking about somebody backstabbing and whatnot, undermining, they are constantly undermined, backstabbed, and talked about. So the book says that Jesus Christ was talked about, hung, and then killed. So I just cut and dry. Goes in one ear and out the other. I'm trying to move forward. Those that are moving forward, I'm in that crowd. I'm smelling that guts of individuals who are moving forward. I'm getting kicked in the eyes with the rocks that they're stepping on as a step that fly back, just like they do with tires on the highway. So I'm looking forward to get hit in the head with a rock, because that means I'm going forward. As soon as I stop going forward, then I entertain the ideas of what you just said. And I, for one, personally, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to talk about Susie and whatnot. I don't have time to waste like that. There's too many things that need to be done that are forward, and that's where I'm at.
I say double R in the car.
Yeah, mine is just simple, man. If you can't add to a situation, just shut your mouth. Man, you know what I'm saying? My mama used to say, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. I yield back.
That's my mama, too. Mark, the disciple.
You know, I'm going to tell it like a T.I. is. It's through tradition that we've been conditioned to act the way we act. We don't care about nobody but ourselves, because that's what we were taught. But going forward, like I say, it's just one big love fest. We got to learn to love one another. And once you learn to love one another, that means you'll care for one another, and you won't care about all this frivolous shit that we're fussing and fighting about. But like I say, the bullshit going to go on whether we agree to it or not. But we can agree to love one another, and that bullshit won't affect us as much as it is now, because we'll be together. And when we're together, we can defend a whole lot of shit. The pain won't be so great because we're sharing. So, like I say, we got to get it together. I'm a digress.
I say. I see Mama Chocolate, you in class. I don't know if I would hit you right now because I know you're in class. So I'm going to pass on that part. I see Miss Clarice in the house. Miss Clarice, good morning.
Good morning. In regard to your question, when does it stop? Marvell sort of hit it on the head, and a couple other people said some things. Is that my thing would be, if you can help a person locate their pain, their hurt, and work from there, because that's usually the basis of all their behaviors, is to go back and find out what is hurting you, where is your pain, and once you do that, then you can start working on remedies. And as I said a couple of sessions ago, there's a lot of talk, information, gossip that's floating around. A lot of free radicals out there. You become solution. Solution will only bond with information, will only bond with solution. All the gossip and stuff, it doesn't connect. Let it keep riding around. And you become the solution for everything, piece of information that you hear. If that's your anointing, your gift, use it. Become the solution. That's where it stops.
Ashe. And Brother Sherman just pulled up in his car, and we're going to see how he's feeling this morning. Good morning, Brother Sherman.
Good morning, everyone. Morning to all that are standing. I'm just riding the bus, going to take care of a little business, and hey, see ya.
Ashe. And so I only ask that question because so many people are putting so many people down for nothing. You don't get paid. It's not your job. And if it was, that's a hell of a job, right? But you don't get paid to slander people. You don't get paid to push people down, right? And you're not going to get paid to pull them up. I'm going to be honest, you're not going to get anything but a smile probably, or you will get something. Let me say, you'll feel like I feel when I'm helping. I feel good. I don't got to tell you that I help certain people. I feel good. It's for self, right? It's for self. And why I say that is because I thank God that he allowed me to stay on this planet He gifted me life, right, to be able to do something new with the new life that I was afforded. I was spared to do these things. And so it's an honor. It's an honor to my spirit to be able to help somebody instead of hurt somebody. When it look like I'm hurting somebody, I'm going to ask for forgiveness, and I'm going to back all the way out and see what I need to do, and so I can be a help instead of a hindrance, right? And so sometimes we just have to take time to understand self, understand the pain that we have ourselves, because I'll tell you in a minute, I'm still healing. I'm healing every day. And I go through stuff every day, right, with myself, right? Sometimes I don't think I do enough. Sometimes I think I do too much. Sometimes I think nobody listens. Sometimes I think everybody listens, right? And I go through these things just to better myself on my presentation to any situation that I find myself in, right? And so over the weekend, I was on the conventional radio station, 97.5 KDEE here in Sacramento, and I had a couple of guests in there. And our guests were so strong in their conviction and their conversation that I had to get a number to one of the brothers that was from West Africa. He came in, he's a realtor here in Elk Grove, and he's an investor, and I wanted to get to know this young brother because he's young, right? But he comes from the mindset of not having to having, right? And he said to himself when he got out of college here that he didn't want his children to suffer the way he suffered. So he's paving the way for them, right? And the way he's paving the way is giving them information now. Information now. They go to school in a public school, but the information that comes from the home is superior to what they learn in school, right? And when this brother was talking to me, I barely, you know, he had broken English, but the way he never broke eye contact with me, right? And we are talking, and I felt a way about him that, you know, I feel about Mark the disciple, Brother Joe, RRR, my mentor, Marvell. I felt the strength in his conviction, right? And he said to me, he said, "What's wrong with American blacks?" That's what he said, American blacks. He said that there's too much tear down and not enough build up. And I had him unpack that for me. And what I came back out of that conversation with is that he is right. We tear each other down so fast that the buildup is minute, because you only see so many people trying to build somebody else to be better. You know, everybody want to be in your spot, so they're not going to push you to the heights. They want to get where you at. And so there's got to be a change in the guard, the vanguard. There's got to be a change in the gatekeeper. There's got to be some changes in our community, well, in our neighborhoods, so that we don't even have to worry, like some people said, about who wins. I think Brother Joe said it don't give a damn if Trump win or not. He's already set some things into play that he going to be all right. And so everybody not going to be all right. So we need those that are all right to witness to those that are trying to be all right so they can be all right. I know I'm tongue wrestling, but, man, it's heavy on my heart. And we're 1 hour into the show, so, you know, I'm going to always play some commercials, and we'll get right back to the discussion. Marvell, I have something else to talk about. I just had to get that off my chest, because when I talk to people and they give me something, man, I stay up all night. My wife would tell you, she probably listening right now, I sit in the bed and just be pondering on what I just heard, right? And I can't sleep. It's just my spirit. My spirit is really for mankind, right? My spirit is for mankind, and I thank God. God for blessing me to bless others.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle. Every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67, our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67, every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together.
And so with that commercial going like that, I will not be in my office where I can run this radio. I'll be on the phone again, so tomorrow might be a little, you guys, if you can stay on and mute your phone, I'd appreciate it tomorrow, because I've been invited to go with our young phenom, Boss Tootie, to go down to San Ramon to the PG&E. They have some type of performance that she's going to be doing. And her father called me last night and said that he would like for me to go. And I appreciate him trusting me to be a part of their movement. So tomorrow we will be on. But you know how I be. I'll be missing y'all sometime. And last time I missed somebody and they had to hand up was Rev, and he kind of like chewed me out. So I'm going to give y'all fair warning.
Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
Now, I need all my brothers to come tonight. We got a brother named Johnny. We call him Uncle Johnny. And Uncle Johnny is trying to get his record expunged, right? And he's trying to get the California Rehabilitation Certificate, and he needs some reference letters. And so who can do that better than the brothers that are coming with him for a year? We've been doing it for a year with Johnny. And so please come tonight, get the information that Brother Johnny has so that we can help him move forward in life. You already know that tomorrow is his birthday, right? 23 years clean, and we want to celebrate him in a major way by helping him deliver his message to those that are trying to do just as he has, get clean. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and I will be going back to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, I'll reiterate the importance of the brotherhood coming together today to make sure that we give him every opportunity to achieve his goal as a certified counselor. And moreover, it's kind of important that we understand. I'm not going to talk about how our attendance has been. It's been sparse, up and down. Yet I'm urging that we have not only our former members but our new membership increased by people hearing this and coming in. 2251. Florin Road, Obama Room, 6 o'clock p.m. to 7:30 p.m. tonight. We look forward to having you, and we will welcome you, and you'll feel the warmth and the therapy that we experienced there. I would like to go back just briefly to the question of why we seem to vent on each other, why we seem to denounce each other, why we seem to stand in judgment of each other. And I'll say the core is anger, but I'll also say that, and this might seem controversial, I dare to say that in the depths of most men, especially the black men in this country, I think in the recesses of our subconscious, there's this concern about whether or not we will be exterminated if we demonstrate all of our abilities, all of our unities, and all of our qualities collectively. Will that lead to a demonstration of rebellion that could cost us possibly our lives? Because what has happened in the past has been such a ruthless and heartless attack on anything that we've demonstrated that shows unity and collectivism, that in the hearts of each man wanting to protect himself and his family only goes to the brink of unity, but may have an apprehension about going fully united because of that concern. Now, I want to recognize the potential for that. However, I also want to recognize that there's a risk now, at this point now, if it's a risk in my heart that I feel I'm taking, I'm willing to risk it. And not just because I'm 70 years old and I'm getting close to the end, not necessarily because of that, but because I recognize that whatever fears I have in the recesses have to be addressed, So if I'm harboring that and that's keeping me from doing something, that's what I have to face. I have to face whatever fear I have in order for me to not only live healthily now, but prepare a plate for my children and my children's children to eat off of. So if that resonates with anybody, I just want it to be considered. I'm not asking for decisions to be made. I'm not asking for crusades to be launched. I'm just asking, is that a possibility that in the recesses of your subconscious, there might be the challenge of whether or not we will be ruthlessly attacked if we were to unite? And if so, I'm thinking maybe we can relax that the way things are going now, because I always say when we're talking about our collectivism and our unity, I always caveat it with, y'all need to, people who are observing this, you don't have any, you need to have no fear about our rising, because we're not rising to seek retribution or vengeance. We're rising because it's in our spirit to do so in the first place, and you knew it. That's how you utilized our resources in the first place. You knew that we had it. Now we're saying we know we have it, so let us flourish and not be afraid of what's going to happen once we arrive where we should be in this sphere and in this atmosphere.
Well, I'm going to say once again, our biggest problem is fear and greed. That's what affects us. That's what keeps us from coming together. That's what keeps us from achieving all the greatness that God has placed up within us, because we have the ability to do above anything that the oppressor has done. We have the ability to withstand any treatment that he has put upon us. But through fear and greed, see, he put that fear that we'll kill you. He put that greed factor in, well, I'm going to give them a little more. So those that ain't got to hate them. See, so those are the things that's holding us back. And these are the things we have to overcome within ourselves. Money is not a factor to survival. You don't need money to survive. And you can't survive with you. That's what you got to think about. Because if all this shit was taken away today, what the hell would you do? What would you do? I know what I would do. I could make it. But most of us will not. Because of fear. And because of where greed has placed them in a realm of security that they couldn't get out there and forage for nothing. They don't know how to hunt. They don't know how to even cook, a lot of them. They microwave shit. Hell, that ain't cooking. They don't know how to put a meal together. So, I mean, you're screwed either way it goes. But you got to think about longevity. Think about the future. Do you want your kids to go through this shit? Your grandkids, your great-grandkids? I don't want mine to go through it. So I'm working on right now trying to better my position so that I can do something that the opposition can't screw with me on. At least my grandkids, the great-grandkids, I have something to look forward to. I'm going to digress because I'm getting in there.
Potential benefit of pushing past those fears, whether they be the obvious fears or they be the internal fears, the benefit of pushing past that and working as a collective with all the gifts and skills that are entailed with that is the future for our kids and our grandkids, just like our ancestors did. Our ancestors pushed past their fears, pushed past all of the abuse, pushed past the discrimination, pushed past the lack of consideration as being human, to recognize that we are indeed truly human and wholesome and spiritual and deserving of everything that we've been denied. And they pushed past all that with the vision. See, here's the thing. The lack of vision, the lack of clear vision about how things should be, how you want them to be, and how to make them what you think they should and want them to be, clearly in your mind. That's the thing that's getting thwarted here all the time. It's getting diverted here all the time. Yep. So that your vision is only short. This vision is short-lived. It's only immediacy. Your vision is the next thrill. Your vision is the next exhilaration, the next visual, the next color, the next sound, the not beyond that realm. So that's what they had, and that's the seed that we want to implant now, is that we have vision about not just what's good for us now, us as we exist, but those who are going to exceed us in the future and what it'll look like for them if we really care about them. If we really care about them. What are we going to push past to get there?
Let me cut in on this, Marvell. See, when you say our ancestors, what our ancestors did, those that were slaves, those that acquired land for us, most of them got the land taken away through eminent domain or some other type of trickery. But most of them, our parents sold their land in the late 70s and 80s. They sold the grocery stores that their moms and pops and their grandparents had purchased and acquired for them so they wouldn't have to go to these supermarkets. We had our own stores. We had neighborhoods. But like I say, they came in with some money and they sold out. So we're left without nothing now. We got all the other ethnic groups selling in the neighborhood. They got stores everywhere. We ain't got shit. We ain't got nothing but us everywhere. We spread it out. where we have to support these other people. See, so what we got to do is stand up, join forces together, and start doing for ourselves. Build our own gardens. Hell, we can do gardens so good that they'll be buying food from us. They like everything we do, but we can't sell it. We can't sell them the whole damn thing to them. We sell them pieces like they do us. We can manufacture our own clothes. They like wearing our shit. Jewelry. They like all that. But we got to come together and work as a collective group, not individual group. Because when you work as an individual group, now you got to try, you steady trying to beat this other person. You're in competition. And competition brings about division. We got to come together. And we can monopolize this shit if we put our heads together and do it. But we got to have the willingness. We got to have the desire. I'm a digress.
Right on. Right on. So that's the what. Now, let's get to the how. So hopefully it's interpreted by... Hopefully it's interpreted by listeners here that we're vying for not just talking about what it is, but we're moving toward preparing a method of for the how this is done. And starting by next week, I'm gonna have give a report of the things that have developed as a result of these conversations. As a result of the men's healing group, as a result of the youth healing group, as a result of the conversations, and people are taking the conversations and moving it toward some sort of project that pushes us toward closer and closer toward the goal of unity. I'm going to prepare something by my Monday. I'll have a brochure of things. List of things so that maybe there'll be more encouragement for the listener to know that things are not just being talked about here, right? Not, you know, we talk about it and then we analyze it, what we've talked about, and then we attempt to make an effort. And that's one that can be clearly known. We make attempts to give effort toward the solution, although, like my brother Double R said, not just solution, but resolution, right? So I just want to insert that to our listening audience once again, that this is a program where we hash out differences, we hash out concerns, we expose things that are not commonly talked about or examined with any depth. We do that here. However, beyond just doing that, we put our heads together afterwards. That's why you hear a lot of people on here say, hey, I need to chat with you after the program. Hey, I need to chat with you. Give me your number so I can holler at you later on, because the wheels have been motivated to turn towards that quest that we have. So I'm prepared to do that next week and give you a brochure of things so that you can be enlightened and encouraged that things are being put in motion as a result of what we do here on this broadcast.
I beg everybody's pardon. I've been busy with a couple of issues. It's just moving forward. I mean, we cannot afford to let ourselves get stymied any longer. The beginning of the program was asked about what the Trump concept would mean. The old statement of bootstraps and knowledge are what's necessary at this moment. And I like the urgency. I like the urgency because it then gets all of those who have been running off at the mouth about what they're doing It puts it right on the table. And many times, a lot of people that are doing a lot of talking have been doing nothing at all but talking. So I like the urgency. Double R was correct a moment ago. Mark was correct a moment ago. One gone has been correct. Marv, you've been correct. So no, brothers, the urgency is here. Let us move.
So, you know, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I was just going to say our thinking has been, molded, shaped, and now we're coming into our own at a very critical time, which is right now. And so I'll continue until God takes me home. Let us keep moving forward.
Well, I want to dub in about, because Tim mentioned it earlier, about what we're also preparing our young folks for. Yesterday there were a couple of guys, we had a financial planner, financial planner there just visiting. And after the meeting, well, prior to, I had met him before in another venture. And when I saw him, I recognized him. He and another brother, the other brother we had talked about, he brought his sons and his grandson to the youth meeting, and he came up with this concept. He said, how would it look for us to start gathering these youth together and creating a board and letting them and start creating businesses for them, where they're using their creativity and they're using the tutorage of organization from professionals to learn how to structure their own companies, corporations, or businesses, right? And that made sense. And so now we're on the verge of putting together a presentation for our young people to initiate the type of structure with them where they could pool their energies and resources and not only create the ability to generate, but be able to attract their peers as they mentor their peers into the same structure of the same thought process, right? Because we what Tim does better than maybe I do is he has ability to get them to mentor each other. And I've always subscribed to that because I recognize that if I'm in a group and I'm dealing with a group of young people, I'm paying a lot of attention to who they looking to. Every time something is said, they'll look to that one personality or that one individual or two individuals that they want to see how they responding, so that they determine if they meet their approval, then it might meet their approval as well. So I'm looking for that because those are the ones I try to put up under my wing and surge the message through them to their peers because I know they have more influence with their peers than I do. So it's the same principle here that we're putting in motion is to create an opportunity for them to mentor their peers into a structure where they are creating and generating and getting into the ethic of being self-sufficient through the collective body, right? So that's something that I wanted to report. And one more thing, sometimes we run into snags with our young people where we have to wait it out. Tim has that great patience. He has, because I'm ready to go, direct sometimes. And then I have to rethink it and said, okay, if I go direct, that might work. But if it backfires, that gives that individual an excuse to throw in the towel, right, and just go head on and like, oh, yeah, okay, you put me on Front Street, okay, yeah, all right, oh, I'm glad you did, I hope you feel better. Now, I'm feeling bad, I'm wounded now, and I was already wounded when I started. Now, you know, just done deepened the wound and threw salt on it, so now, so I defer to him for that, but we have some pluses that occur, and they're more than subtle. Like we have a kid in our group that when he first came there, we asked him to read some Black History cards, because I passed out Black History cards to the young people to read, and I kind of tricked him because when he was supposed to read, he tried to text his mom and say, "Ma, tell him I don't want to read." And then when she didn't receive the text, he got up from the table, went over to his mom, who was sitting on the sideline, and whispered to her, "Tell him I don't want to read." So that's what she did. She told him, "Oh, us, well, he doesn't want to read." Come to find out, the reason why he doesn't is because he's self-conscious, because he has a slight speech impediment, right? So the next time we were reading, I came to him, and I said, "I tell you what, I had a deck of cards, and I have this little method that I have a little trick, right, with the card. You pick a card, and I can tell you what it is, and it's astonishing, it's astounding to most, but it was a proposition to him. I said, if I tell you what that card is, you'll read this card." And I told him what the card is, and I said, "Y'all see, he's stuck now." And the young man got up, and he read crisply. And then last night, he got up, and he stood on a podium, and he read crisply. He had a few little episodes, but his confidence is building in his ability to fight through his challenge, right? And that's what we're experiencing with our young people, is that they're starting to fight through their fears as a result of us interacting and being consistent and creating a atmosphere of community with them. So we're getting some pluses with our young folks, because they are, you know, like Tim said to him last night, he said, "Because y'all the future." He said, "But some think that you're not their future, you're just the future, and that's me." I tell them, "You're not my future until you start doing your best thinking. If you're not doing your best thinking, you're not my future. You're just the future." But they're developing into being my future and the future as long as we keep on doing what we're doing and working with this youth group and creating things for them to explore, to become more independent-minded. So I just want to give that report. With our youth group, they're just talking about problems. They're also talking about solutions and resolutions as well. And I'll yield.
Ashe, you're listening to The Wise Words with One Gone Sean on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. Call in, join the conversation. We have a couple of people that called in. I have one from the 510. Would you like to say hello to the listening audience from the 510? All right. Thank you very much. If you would like to say something or add to the comments that or speak out, just push the number one. Hey, so I want to say to the rest of the panel here, man, y'all been faithful. You come here to talk about situations and issues in our communities, our neighborhoods, our city, our state. There's some communities, the Black folks don't have no community, but there's communities around. Take, for instance, on Stockton Boulevard, from one end to the other, you'll see the Asians. If you ride over there, they bought a lot of land, put up a lot of buildings, and they patronize one another daily, right? rather spend where they know their dollar is either going back to their home country or to build in this country. And so the reason I'm bringing that up is that I heard Brother Joe come on and say that he wants to get some property. He wants to do some things. He's got a few dollars, and he wants to know who's down with him. And so didn't hear too many people say, well, how can I be assistance? I don't let money be the only thing that you think can support the movement. Let me say that again. Don't let money be the reason why you don't contribute and support the movement. And so a lot of times we think we don't have what it takes to make things work. And I just want you to know we have what it takes. We've shown that the whole time we've been in this country. We've outdone a lot of people, a lot of cultures with just what we know. We don't even know our full culture. You know, it's bits and pieces. And we still top dog. We are. Look at the commercials that's coming on. They playing rap on every commercial. I said, damn, that don't even belong with that, but they do it. Look at the young kids. You go into the Asian community, the young folks, they sagging just like anybody else. They cussing, and the first thing out their mouth, because I had to check a few of them, what's up, my nigga? So don't think that people ain't trying to do what we doing. It's just that we ain't got a patent on what we doing. We just doing it because that's us, right? We got to start monetizing some of this stuff that we got going on instead of letting them monetize it, then give it back to us, right? They get the almighty dollar off of it, but we get the recognition from it. That don't work for me no more. So, brothers and sisters, I'm asking that you pull together, put your differences aside, because you think this way and I think that way don't mean we can't come together in the middle and make something happen and then go back to where we come from, right? And so I ask that y'all lay your burdens down, cast your cares upon the Most High, and start working with one another. That's what it's going to take for change in this country. We got to work together. And so when you say work together, the first thing come up is trust. The first thing come up is trust. So if one would work on oneself and get comfortable with oneself, then one could bring that authentic self to the table, to the conversation, or to the arena. But one has to check oneself in order for that to happen. And so you're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and we are here daily from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. just talking about how we as a people can mend what has been broken to bring together brothers and sisters like-minded to move the needle, because the needle still has not been moved. We haven't got our reparations. It comes up and goes down. It comes up and goes down. We need that thing to stay up. We need to get that so we can do something for our babies, for us, not just our babies, but for us, because it's a long time coming, and it need to have came. I'm going to pass that mic over to Mark the Disciple. I know Mark over there talking about, boy, shut up with all that. But I want to hear from you today, Mark the Disciple. I want to, because I know you as a builder. I know you bring people together, right? And that's why I said, just tell me to be quiet, because I'm preaching to the choir. But I need to hear
you. Well, I ain't going to tell you to be quiet, my brother, because you're the kindling for this fire. You're keeping the fire going. And so it's up to all of us to pour our gas or whatever you got, our petroleum, onto this fire to keep it going. Because we can't do it alone. Right now, I'm working with Miss Effie trying to get a community garden together. We're going around finding property. I done found something, so we got to do an a dirt sample to see, you know, what impurities is in there and, well, you know, what we can do with it, if we need to rebuild this soil or whatever. But it's got to happen. It's going to happen. I'm trying to put together some in the near future where we could have a house for these kids when they get out of juvenile. And not just juvenile, any kid that's in a broken home that needs to needs healing, where they can come and stay. You know, so we got to help one another. And it's going to happen. But we can't, and this is the main thing. We got to overlook the naysayers, because there's going to be a whole lot of motherfuckers that say, oh, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. It'll never work. I don't give a damn what motherfuckers say. I know it'll work. Because through God, all things are possible. And that's who I serve, not man. I'm a digressor.
I heard the passion in your voice as you cussed and used God's name. I heard the passion. I'm going to look past all that because I know you're coming from
my brother, in the Bible, look, that man wrote that book. Cussing comes natural to me. I didn't have to go to school to learn it. I speak it fluently, and everybody understand what I'm saying. It's understood in every country. See? But God understands my heart. I got a lot of love in my heart for my people. I got love for everybody, but I want to see my people get above this bullshit. Because now we underneath it.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm
Double R? Double R, come out the car. Get out that car, Double R.
But the main thing I'm listening to is this youth, though, man, and I'm just absorbing everything y'all saying, and I just want to put my two cents in. As far as what I gave you guys, a hint on is LLCs, as far as getting these government properties and agriculture, that'll be a good one too. No matter what's going on, we need to put them to work. You know, just a safe haven for them, a refuge for them, and that should be the goal first of all. You know what I mean? Because that's our future. Just like I said, I saw that BET thing yesterday with our youth. I mean, to me, I don't care if they're in college or wherever, they still youth to me. I'm down there 60, but this is our future. This is the mentality that they got. And two, just a small little place that we can just organize something for us to have our own internet study of Black history would be, I think, a great start. Because like when I look at these college students, like I said, they never talked about reparations. It's like, man, I mean, you thinking like white folks on there, I'm looking at. I'm saying, man, come on, we need to change our attitude to act like we can't act like we there. We got to understand where we coming from. We the worst, to me, when I wake up, I'm the worst hated human being on this earth just because of the color of my skin. And I'm not trying to fit in like the white folk. I'm not trying to do what they do. I'm not trying to think like them because I know I'm not even considered a human being in the United States. You know what I mean? Forget the silver citizen, the silver rights, the human rights. You know what I mean? So if we could just focus on this youth, on our youth, and like I say, just education. Educate our youth on what has happened to us, why they looking at us elders, and say, well, what's wrong with them? You know what I mean? Just to give them a more of an insight of what's going on in this world until they get to college and have to study CRT. Which is kind of too late. We need to start our youth out as babies to let them know that where we came from and where we're going. I yield.
Yeah, man, I'm with you on that, man. Ooh, woo, touchdown. Miss Clarice, I know you're at work. I know you stay at your desk and you got a lot going on, but I need to hear from you, Sister Clarice.
Hi, yes. I agree, Judith, to what everyone has said. I think prevention is the best method. We got to work on every level. You know, I don't think that we need to target the babies. We need to target the youth, the adults, the older adults. Every level, we should be doing something. I'm 73. I think I'm 73. I'm going on 74, I think. But I'm not going to be idle. You know, I mean, I don't want to be on the front line of the battlefield because I've served there, but I don't want to be idle somewhere. So whatever I can do, because we have to fight on every front. That's what I have to say. We have to fight on every front. We deserve this, and we need to know who we are and what we are. And once we know what we are, who we are, and whose we are, then we can go forward. Thank you, and I appreciate each and every one of you your inputs, and as I said before, keep doing what you're doing because you don't know who you're touching on and who you're helping. Thank you, Ted.
Ashe, ashe, ashe. We have a caller from the 510. Are you available to say hello to us at least? The 510-575 number? Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
I apologize. I'm at work, so I got to step in and out.
Okay. And so I'm just asking a quick question. Do you think we are working with one another as blacks? Are we working with one another to set an agenda to help us elevate in this country? Or are we just taking whatever we're given and doing the best with what we have?
Some are working together and some are realizing that it's that time, and if we do work together, we can succeed. But a lot of the youth definitely aren't really working together. I say a lot of the youth more so they're more focused on their looks and their image to other people, and I guess how they look and making sure they're up to date, I guess. So, no, I don't believe a lot of people are trying to work together, but I do believe if we do work together, we can conquer a lot, because I don't know who exactly said it, but they do want to look like us. You know, they tear us down, most of them, but I believe, I've always said that I know older people in that culture are upset because their kids want to look like us, and they pay and buy all these things to look just like us. So that's what upsets them now, I believe, with us. But, yeah, I think some are working and some aren't.
All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so, you know, man, this show right here is a wonderful show to be on. Make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to go online to Blog Talk Radio if they missed this broadcast, and they can find Wise Words with One Gone Show. Go into our archive, and we have 11 years of storytelling right here on this show. Right, we went through the pandemic with this show, and it was man, you talking about people on the line, because we didn't know what was going on with that pandemic, right? And we had people from everywhere on here, and I said, man, this is what God has this show for, is to release, remind, and review. And so we release all the time, we remind all the time, and we do a lot of reviews, right? We review a lot of things that are going on so we can be better at attacking situations. I'm going to go back to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. We are 16 minutes away from the end of the show. It's 44 minutes after the hour. Marvell?
Yes, sir. So I'm glad the young lady pointed out those distinctions about our young people. And because that's one of the greater challenges that exists, because the disconnect is so cutting. And it contributes a lot to me. Until I developed a little more of a insight about what their experience is, I was contributing to the division because I'm not able to get them to communicate in the way that makes sense to me, and that's verbal, right? Verbalization seems to be a challenge, and if someone is not able to or willing to express themselves verbally, it's difficult to get a gauge on how to assess character. Now, the young lady was saying about us being duplicated, and I say this. Why not? Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they duplicate? Why wouldn't they, excuse me, that was my, I'm in the car. Why wouldn't they duplicate the color, the charisma, the creativity, the resilience, the soul, the spirit. Why wouldn't they duplicate that and at the same time pretend like it's not worth anything until they can capitalize on it? Why wouldn't they? Because they're looking at what they, you know, it's like in politics they do a lot of what they call projection, especially the Republican Party. They do what they call, okay, they're doing something, and then they'll suggest that someone else is doing it and put a lot of energy on and a lot of emphasis on what the other person is doing that they're doing, right? And it's the same kind of thing here. It's like you're projecting that we're not valuable, but everything that you get from us has value to you. So when the young lady pointed that out, I understand that's another one of our challenges, is to get our young people to recognize the value that they demonstrate in whatever their creativity is or whatever their anointment is. The value that they demonstrate is something to not share freely without a benefit. But yet, it seems like the hard sell is to get them to understand the value of what they have, and to get us to understand as a people the value of what we have and get comfortable with that value, get comfortable with the power of that value, and get secure enough to know how to harness it and dole it out where it benefits us, rather than just be free-spirited, just sharing everything, and then somebody look at it. First they look at it, they say, oh, that rap thing, that's just And then it's like, shoot, wait a minute, hold it. I don't like it, but I ain't got to like it. I can benefit from it, so I'm going to use it. Kind of like where we find ourselves with being the most colorful, probably among the most talented, probably the most innovative, probably the most spiritually centered group of people, is that we're having a difficult time acknowledging it in ourselves, while others have acknowledged it, harnessed it, packaged it, sold it, and bought homes in gated communities because of it. How are you?
Well put, big brother. Well put, well put. And so we are coming to the end of this show, this podcast, this broadcast. What I want y'all to know, man, is go in peace, right? Go in peace and make sure you spread that to everyone that you come in contact with. Today is your day to be a peacemaker. There's somebody that's struggling with self. Be that go-between for them to see that there's better days coming. To stand on, you know, them young folks say, stand on business. Let them know they need to stand on business and not fall for everything. It's the wise words of One Gone Show, and man, I have to play a song right now. It's just I must play this song because we are winners, right? And I had one that Marvell gave me. It says we're a winner, right? But I want to play this one because the Spirit is anointing this show, and this is how I feel.
I'm going to win. You going to win. Everybody around me winning. Yeah. Everything around me winning. Yeah.
Around me with Devil already know I'm winning, and it's my winning season. Yeah.
don't just yeah.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
But I want Brother Marvell to take us out with some wise words to stand on. Marvell.
Hey, man, before that, I'm very discriminative about my music, man. However, I got to have that piece. So you're going to have to send that to me or the way, how I can get it so I can blow that up, because that's that, you know, you got commercial music and then you got anointed music, and that music to me is an anointed piece of music, right? So I'm looking forward
yes,
to that, man, so I could blow that one up. You played a couple of times and I always liked it, but I never asked for it. I'm asking for it now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's Patrick. Pastor Mike. Winning.
Oh, yeah, Pastor Mike. Yeah.
Yeah,
all right.
Winning. Yes, sir. Yes,
right
sir.
On.
I can make
right
you
on.
A CD. I can make you a CD with some good gospel music on there, man, and pass it forward, right?
Oh, man. Well, hey, please do. And then
yes,
in
sir.
Regard to your request, The wisdom that I have is where I get out the way, Spirit of God flows through me, and it's unencumbered by my thought process a lot of times. So the words that I have now is that the people who are subscribing to this, listening to this, participating in this, you know, take that extra step. To just get out of the way and wait for what the Spirit of God says to you about what we're talking about and the movements that we're attempting to push forward to help us become who we are supposed to be here. You know, we've done what we're supposed to do, but we have not become who we're supposed to be. And it's only fair that we experience that before anything ends about what's going on in this earth. We don't know. We've heard, and there's scriptures that say that we're in the last days. Well, in these last days, if that's the case, let us experience what we should have been experiencing and what we have experienced in the first days. Let's move toward that kind of love that Mark talks about, that we have to whittle away at all of the barriers that deter us from having that experience of just flat-out pure love for somebody who looks like you, who has a like experience as you, who has like talents and skills and anointments as you, and who has a goal that's exactly like yours, to be recognized and equalized in this sphere that we live in. So I just ask that you know, whatever you have to do, if it's meditation, if it's reading, and then sitting back and reflecting, allow that spirit to flow through you to tell you what to do next to contribute to the quest that we're on as a people in this country. And I'll yield with that.
And I thank you. Mark the Disciple, you have any wise words for the listening audience?
Yes, sir. I'm going to ask that everybody do some self-reflection, because we understand what's going on, and we've begun to understand it. Now it's time for us to begin to overstand it. We have to tap into that individual that God created within us, and that individual has nothing to do with finances. It has nothing to do with greed or fear, because God didn't put no fear in us. That's something we developed on our own through these struggles that we've been going through. But if we just take time out to meditate, get to a place of peace where there's no building or cars around, and then you can do some self-reflection. And that's what I ask everybody to do sooner or later.
Double R in the car. 90 seconds. Wise words.
Just real quick. Hey, just real quick. Stay black, stay strong.
Miss Clarice, wise words for the listeners.
Yes, I intend to do whatever I can to help the situation as I help myself. I have no other choice but to be patient, because someone was patient with me, and I intend to go forward and to do whatever role I can play, whatever I can contribute. I'm there. Thank you.
Ashe. So we are coming to a close, but not an end, right? We appreciate all listeners. God bless you. May he keep you as you keep him in your heart. And make sure that you be kind to somebody. Show peace to somebody. Show love to somebody. Today is your day to be a peacemaker. Remember that. You are more than a conqueror. You are the best that ever was. You are you. Continue to be you. We out of here. Peace.